As geopolitical tensions continue and central bank policies diverge, how is investor sentiment shifting? This is The Markets. Hi, I'm Sam Grobart. Today, I'm joined by Josh Schifrin, Global Head of Trading Strategy in Global Banking and Markets. Josh, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
So it feels almost like each day brings a lower, slower projection for Fed rate cuts. How is the market adjusting to that?
The data's come in better and hotter than expected, and the market's responding to that incoming information. We've seen strong readings on the labor market, very robust job gains over the last few months. Q1 GDP looks like it's going to come in somewhere around 3%. And we've seen continued over the last 3 months, strong readings, hot readings on inflation, and the market's taken all of that on board and as a consequence reduced its expectations for how much the Fed will cut interest rates this year.
I'm reminded of something I read from our colleague Tony Pasquarello, who was making the point, we sort of assumed you had to have these rate cuts for the better results that you're describing, but I guess maybe not.
Yeah, the economy has proven itself to be able thus far to handle higher rates, materially higher rates than the last cycle. The economy is performing very well. Certainly, I think some of that's attributed to the deficit spending, pandemic stimulus. But certainly, at least at this point, it feels like rate cuts are more optional rather than necessary. We might just be in a different regime than we were from 2010 to 2020, where so-called neutral rates are higher. And the longer the economy is able to perform well, and right now it's performing exceptionally well with the federal funds rate above 5%, the more the market will conclude that this is back to the higher rate regimes we had pre-GFC.
I was going to say, I'm old enough to remember when rates were considerably higher and the economy managed to perform.
Yeah, the 2010 to 2020 period post the crisis, I think that will turn out to be the anomaly.
I want to pull back to a bit of more of a global perspective here. We're seeing divergence in central bank policy, right? Lagarde signaled cuts this week. The U.S., as we've mentioned, is moving more slowly. Japan made a big move last month. How are investors weighing these different paths? And maybe my follow-up question is, what products is this playing out in?
I think that for a good part of the year, the U.S. data was really the surprise outperformer, and the U.S. economy was really outperforming the global economy. But central banks were broadly doing the same thing. The Fed was still signaling the cuts were likely to come at some point this year. The ECB, the same. The Bank of England, the same. And central banks were broadly acting in unison. It was a big question that came up, why some of the central banks outside the United States weren't following their domestic stories more closely, where there'd not been such strength in the data. I think the divergence story is one that's really picked up in the last week or two with the hot US CPI last week. The ECB, I view, is highly likely to cut rates in June, independent of what the Fed does. And I think that would likely be the start of a rate cutting cycle, not just one cut, again, irrespective of how the Fed story plays out. I think the divergence theme requires central banks to behave differently. And I think that is now something that is in focus. I think that has catalyzed a move stronger in the dollar. I think there was a lot of questions why the dollar wasn't performing better, given the strength in the U.S. economy relative to other economies. And I think that goes back to the lack of central bank divergence. Now that you're going to see central banks maybe go their own ways, investors have been very focused on the dollar and its performance over the last week. And I think that was a breakout moment over the last week.
I want to shift gears for a minute here because we can't talk about anything without referring back to what happened with Iran and Israel last week. How is that, if at all, playing out in markets or commodities?
I think that markets have certainly focused on it, certainly ahead of last weekend, particularly last Friday. It felt like that was a real prominent focus for market participants ahead of the weekend. Some of that then unwound post the weekend's events. I think that markets are, particularly commodity markets, are very focused. I think that the oil market probably embed some amount of geopolitical premium, risk premium. I think the thing to focus on there is any potential reductions in supply around that. So I think that's something markets are focused on. I would also point out gold has performed extremely well.
It sure has.
And it's done so in spite of a rally in the U.S. dollar, a rise in real interest rates, which, you know, tend to be things that often correlate with gold prices going down. In this case, gold has had a strong rally, and I think that is in part due to geopolitical tensions, probably some gold-specific factors as well. But I think geopolitics will remain in focus.
Josh, when we had you back on in December, you told us that there were good reasons for optimism going into 2024, and you said people aren't optimistic enough. And you were right. My question is, are they optimistic enough now?
The markets struggled in Q3 of last year, and I felt there had been a real pivot in the environment as you ended the year. The Fed had really begun to change their tune, catalyzed by Governor Waller putting rate cuts on the table at the end of November, which I think was a surprise to the market. You also had, I think, a lot of negative sentiment remaining from Q3. And I felt like there were some real secular stories, particularly around AI, that were a real multi-year story. And I felt like the prospects for a soft landing were still underappreciated by the market. And I think that played out in Q1. Right now, I'm much more cautious. I think...
Why?
I feel like there's been a collection of things that have changed. I think now you've seen some stronger inflation readings, and it puts, to some degree, Fed cuts in doubt. While I still think the Fed will end up cutting interest rates this year, the onus is on the data to get there. As we talked about, you have a rise in geopolitical tensions. And then lastly, valuations have moved significantly. When we talked in December, we were just at the beginning of a very strong rally, and equity markets had a very strong Q1. So I think the valuation story has changed somewhat as well. So I am cautious in the near term. Over a multi-year period, I remain very optimistic. I think the U.S. economy is performing very well. I think AI is a multi-year trend, and I remain a longer-term structural optimist and bullish. I just think we're entering into a choppier period given recent events and performance so far this year.
And Josh, last question. What are you going to be keeping an eye on next week?
We talked about geopolitics, and I think that's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I think the next few data points that I'm focused on is really the next payroll and CPI report. I think those are a few weeks out, but I think that's really going to be the key focal point for markets. I think those two data points stand above the rest. The payroll data to see if the continued strong performance in the jobs market continues, and the CPI report, which has more recently surprised to the upside, to see if there's a reduction in inflationary pressure. So I put those two data points as the key ones I'm looking at out over the next few weeks.
Josh Schifrin, thank you so much.
It's great to be here with you.
That does it for another episode of The Markets. Be sure to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more, visit us at gs.com and subscribe to Briefings, our weekly newsletter on the global economy. I'm Sam Grobart. Thanks so much for listening. The opinions and views expressed in this program may not necessarily reflect the institutional views of Goldman Sachs or its affiliates. This program should not be copied, distributed, published, or reproduced in whole or in part, or disclosed by any recipient to any other person without the express written consent of Goldman Sachs. Each name of a third-party organization mentioned in this program is the property of the company to which it relates, is used here strictly for informational and identification purposes only, and is not used to imply any ownership or license rights between any such company and Goldman Sachs. The content of this program does not constitute a recommendation from any Goldman Sachs entity to the recipient and is provided for informational purposes only. Goldman Sachs is not providing any financial, economic, legal, investment, accounting, or tax advice through this program or to its recipient. Neither Goldman Sachs nor any of its affiliates makes any representation or warranty, express or implied, as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this program and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. Our theme music was composed by Soundboard.